Series called or titled called. So I just want to get everybody on the same page. The word call and calling in the New Testament is from a Greek word, K-A-L-E-O, because you know I don't talk any Greek. And it simply means you have been invited to stand in a divinely appointed position. How many of you have memorized that after the fourth week? You should. Okay. But you know, it's so funny when you think about you have been called to stand in a divinely appointed position. You know, as I read my Bible and I think of all these great men and women of God, David, Moses, Esther, and I'm like, yeah, they were called to stand in a really coolly divine appointed position. But what about me? But that scripture, that definition for calling is you have been called, not David, not Moses, not Miriam, not Ruth, not all those other big names in the Bible, but you have been called to stand in a divinely appointed position. Put your hand on your heart and say, I have been called to stand in a divinely appointed position. Guys, God called you. Everybody say that. God called me. You can't slip out the door. You know, there's certain things in life. Like, oh, it's so funny. You know, my kids, we'd have a Saturday family meeting, and that meant we were going to do things, like work first and then play. But, man, some of my guys would just disappear. It's like, what happened to this person and that person? Well, they were disappearing. But listen, you cannot disappear. You have been called. Everybody say, I have been called by God to stand in a divinely appointed position. Okay. And my heart, and I'm so sorry, not really, is I'm praying that you answer the call. I'm praying. Oh man, I pray for you. Pastor D, stop praying for me. No. I am praying that you answer the call. So just to get everybody on the same page, on our second week, we talked about general call. General call. So a general call, it's the same for you, it's the same for me. It's the same for she, it's the same for she. You all have the exact same general call by God. And we talked about the general, there's a bunch of them, but I only highlighted three. You have been called to live under grace. Shh. Right there, you can just lay down and just thank you, thank you, thank you. You have been called by God to live under His grace. You've also been called by God to live pure and holy lives. You've been called, listen to this one, you all, same thing, has had God call you to be His friend. God has called you to be His friend. That's like the cha-cha dance. Oh man, that is so cool. I know, children's ministry, long time. But listen, that should make you dance. That's not just for me because my name is Cashman. That's not just for me because my name is Pastor D. That is you because God has called you into this general calling to be His friend. That's so cool. So you know, nobody calls you? Tough. I got a direct line to heaven. God's my friend. It's just so good. Okay, moving on. Last week was lesson three, and we talked about special callings, better yet, specific callings. And you all have specific callings. It's different than the person next to you. They may overlap sometimes and we team up and stuff, but y'all have specific callings. And we talked about last week, get the CDs, are so good, or go online. But we talked about last week that God has a book in heaven where your name's written on it. And in that book, He wrote down all your special callings that He has for you to do within His kingdom of God. He has a book about you. All right? And it's not everything, like we said, like what should I wear, what should I eat. But He's written in that book special things that He has called you, just you, to do in His kingdom. So that's what we talked about last week. We also said, as far as special callings go, 99% of you, your special calling will be within the bounds of a local church. 99% of you, your special callings you get to use in a local church. 1% of you will probably be in parachurch ministries, okay? And but think about this. You have been picked out, called special by God because He loves you and He believes in you. God believes in you that He would give you this special calling to do in life for Him. So you are darn precious, special, awesome. Man, you know, some days people just don't believe nothing about you. You're just nothing. But listen, God, he is so cool. And so again, 99% of you will probably be using your special calling in a local church. And if you're planted here, you're probably going to be using it because Pastor D will be on your case. No, God will be speaking to you. You'll be using it here. 1% of it does it outside of the ministry. But it is just amazing to watch you guys do it. I sit back and I just smile. I'm like, look at them. High five. They're doing their special calling. All right. And we'll talk more about more of the special calling. But today, if you're taking notes, because you're all smarter than a fifth grader, and sometimes my brain doesn't remember everything, so it's another good reason to take notes. But our main idea, our big idea that I want you to understand more clearly, you should be able to quote this before. Ready? Main idea that I want you to understand more clearly than you ever understood before. You ready? You ready today? My calling is connected to your calling. My calling is connected to your calling. Now, don't take off my pastor hat. I'm just talking me, me, me. Me, me, me is connected to your calling. Just don't see me as pastor, okay? So write that down. Write your name in there, all right? Write your name in there and say, my calling is connected to your calling, okay? Now, in other words, I can't fulfill my calling unless I'm connected with you. You have been invited to stand in a divinely appointed position. You have a special calling, and you can't fulfill your calling unless you're connected with one another. Punch that person and say, I'm connected to you. And I'm going to fulfill my calling, all right? So I'm going to fulfill my calling, and I'm going to be connected to y'all, all right? We were walking out of the building. Upstairs. I have some before, during, and after pictures. I forgot to give them to post up. But I was walking out of the building, and Shane was walking in, and he punched me. And he goes, you like it? And I was like, yeah. No, I like this. I like this. So I'm into punching now. I'm into punching. Just going to do it. Funny story off of the topic. Diane Siegel. Diane was telling me this crazy, funny, cute story about her son when he was a little boy. And Diane comes from a whole bunch of brothers. And the brothers, you know, when you have these uncles to a little kid, they don't always teach your kid the nicest things. So her little boy would come back, John. John is so adorable. And he'd go, you want to fight? You want to fight? You want to fight? She's like, thanks, brothers. This is what you learn when you hang out with your big uncles. Okay. So anyway, I'm into punching. Thank you. Where am I, Pastor D? Yes. Okay. So my calling is connected to your calling, and your calling is connected to one another. Now, so last week we talked about specific callings, and you all have a specific calling to use within the kingdom of God. You have it, all right? But today we're going to talk about how it works. How does that work in my life? What way does it work? So turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. I got my notes in front of me. Chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. My calling is connected to your calling. Your calling is connected to my calling. My calling is connected to one another. Your calling is connected to one another. By golly, y'all are connected because you all called. All right, y'all at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. So look carefully at Jesus, the apostle and chief priest, about whom we make our declaration of faith. All right, so brothers and sisters, raise your hand if you're a brother and sister in Christ. If you're a believer, you're called a brother and sister. All right. So it says you are holy partners in a heavenly calling, and we could say a specific calling, right? All righty. So what he's saying is my calling is connected to your calling, and your calling, you're called to be a partner. You're called to be on a team. You're called to be in the body. I have a sticker on my desk, above my desk. It's been there for about coming up 10 years. And it says, YCF, we are a team. And then it has a whole bunch of things about team. But we are connected. My calling's connected to your calling, all right? So the title of this message is Called to a Team. You are called to a team. So if you don't like football and people always go, what team are you on? You got a team. Okay, I'm going to talk more about the team. So my calling is connected to your calling. You are partners, holy partners in this team. Praise God. Today I'm going to do some things, and some of you are going to go, dang, Pastor D, don't embarrass me. I am. It's okay. But you're only embarrassed if you want to be embarrassed. Right? Well, I'm not really embarrassing you. I'm just going to highlight. I'm going to highlight four people that are volunteers, actually husband and wife, some of them, that are volunteers. Now, I would love to have every single one of my volunteer, and I'd go through the room and say, they volunteer here, and they do this, and they do this, and they do this. But, you know, I can't do that because that's not what I want to do today. Well, I can do anything, but that's not what I'm going to do. But I want to highlight volunteers. And when I highlight these volunteers, I want all my volunteers at YCF to know that you are celebrated. You are a part of a team and you are connected. So the first two people, you can stand up and sit down, really, Mark and Carol Salmon. All right. Y'all been here about 2 decades. I was trying to calculate. About 2 decades? Yep. And they have volunteered for all sorts of things. They are just cute and adorable. One season, they were directors over in the sound department. Then they moved over to the coffee and connect department. And they have raised up this incredible team that works with them. Just great. And we're so thankful. Mark leads once a month, the first Saturday of the month, men's prayer at 7:45. Hey, I remembered, and I don't even go. All righty. They have been in leadership for grow groups for decades, all right? And they have now just launched their one just at their house on Thursday evenings. Go to their grow groups, all right? And let me think what else I can tell you. You know what I really like about them? They have such willing hearts to jump in and volunteer without even being asked. Many times, Mark, especially after communion fellowship, I'm dragging a table out, and Mark just runs up and grabs this thing and says, Pastor D, you're not supposed to be doing that. I go, I don't lift. I just drag. I just drag him. And he just jumps in. I always see Carol just talking to people, okay? Another two people, Lane and Stacy. Is Stacy downstairs? What's she doing now? She's not supposed to be downstairs. Okay. Stacy grew up in our children's ministry. Like, she was a babe, a couple years old. Yeah, Lane got engrafted in high school. Ninth grade. You were such a young thing. God, so funny. Lane is director over in the sound department. He's got some great teams. There's some of our teams back there. There's Brian and Adam. They're so cute. I just make them. You're not embarrassed, right? Okay. Lane's also on the worship team. He plays drums. Stacy is director of our preschool department, and she is temporary director because you are not supposed to be director on two departments. But she is temporary filling in until the nursery department, and she's doing a great job doing all of that. They are many times, let's give them a big hand. They are many times the last people out of the building. And you know what I love about them? I love all of my volunteers. But they always have a smile. Like, we are last. We're talking a mile a minute. And just always have a smile. They are serving volunteers with a great joy. Just great joy. Great joy. And the last one, where's Brenton? Stand up, Brenton. Come on. Yay. Okay. Brenton is the director of our maintenance department, which is indoor and outdoor, and sometimes we try to separate it, but you got to talk to the indoor to get to the outdoor, and because we have problems and we don't do that. But he's just, if it's snowing or if the grass is green, this guy's building teams, and just fabulous, wonderful. He's also the old guy on the worship team, the oldest guy on the worship team. You are the oldest. But with this gray hair comes great wisdom, praise the Lord. Brenton and his wife, Susan, also volunteer once a month in the nursery. And it's so cute with Brenton, because I see him a lot, we call a lot. He always comes up, Pastor D, we had the cutest kids down in nursery. You know this little guy, Alex? Oh, he's just so here. And then he'll talk about, he falls in love with all your babies. Yeah? Yeah, when your little babies were in there, he goes, that one, man, she's got to scream. Amina. But he just laughed, okay. So, hey, thank you to all the volunteers here. I thank you. I tell you what, amazing people, amazing. Thank you so much. So why did I talk about that? Because Yes. No, he hit me too. I was the punching bag this past week. Walking. All right. Yeah, no, I got hit. His was harder too. You're nicer. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hey, our vision at YCF is to gather. We gather to worship the Lord. Our vision is also to grow. We want to grow in knowing our Father and the vision that he has for us and the plans for us. And then we go, right? So we go, we always say we go to those that are far from God. We go to those that are hurting and broken and just need Jesus in their life. And this is another way I was thinking about, what else do we do? We actually exist to connect to people. So when we go, the whole reason we're going is to connect with people. That's like why we exist, to connect to people. Oh, Pastor D, what do you mean connect with people? Someone's going to take me out to lunch? I already got a lunch date. But nope, that's not what I'm talking about. What does it mean to connect somebody to God? What does it mean to connect people? Well, number one, our first and most important vision is to connect people to God. So if someone does not know God, we bring Jesus in their life. Right? We bring Jesus into life, and that's huge. How many of you, it's the hugest thing that ever happened to your life? Someone, you know, I knew there was a God, and I heard about this guy on a cross, but someone had to tell me what this meant. All right, so it's huge. So we exist to connect people to God, but we also exist to connect believers to a deeper walk. And that's that grow part. So everybody say, we connect people to God, Christians for a deeper walk. Man, so you are, yeah, that's, you know, my passion here. Okay, now, what does it look like when someone is a believer, a Christian, a follower of Jesus, starts getting a deeper walk with God? Well, let me tell you, I'm so glad you asked. It means that they know why they exist. They know their special calling, and then they're passionate about that, and then they're just passionate to fulfill Jesus's whole plan on the earth. Right? And so, no. And let me tell you this: the greatest sign of a mature Christian. You know, I have these people. I'm a mature Christian. I've been born again 30 years. Okay, the greatest sign of a mature Christian is they know their special calling, they have a passionate, and they're out doing it. That is a mature Christian. So all your gray hairs, this doesn't always mean that you're mature. Amen. So I color mine. Praise the Lord. Now, if I were to share, so our vision is to gather, grow, and go. But if I were to share, we have some core values here. Core, like these are like the mortar in our things that we believe. So one of our things that I say all the time is we are better together. Look, everybody, we are better together. This project behind me would not have happened. I counted. There were 11 people that had their hand in this. From the design, beginning of the designs and the talk and the Pastor D said, no, I don't want to do that. I hate black. Just, you know. How many of you know me? What are the two colors I hate? Black and orange. So I said, that's okay. So behind me. I'm cool. It looks great. It looks really good. But why did I say all of that? I don't know. I'm having a great time today. You should get up at 5 o'clock and have all of this stuff here. Why did I say that? Where was I going? Better together. Team. Okay. Team. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe I should look at my notes. All right. Yep. So our core value. Thank you. No one said that. I would have known what I was talking about. So part of our vision and then our core values is we are better together. And the second part that I really like to write down today, because this is great, is you are a part of a whole. And I saw that happen when this wall went up and painted. We are all part of a whole. We are all part of a whole. If you're a believer, you have been called by God, and you are now part of a whole, W-H-O-L-E, okay? You are part of a whole. You're part of a team. Now, I'm gonna not embarrass myself because I choose not to, but I'm going to talk about football. And I know just enough of football that I just enjoy it. What are you kidding me? You got men running around hitting each other. I just think they're so cute. They just... Okay, so this is what I know about football, because this has to do with the whole team thing, all right? This is the best example I could come up with. So please laugh with me. Don't laugh at me, but anyway. So we have our team. We're on a team. We have a team. And then it's really a football team right now. We're at the football game, and we have the guy that has the ball now is the offense part of the team. All the offense guys are out on the ground. Don't I sound so ignorant when I talk about football? But I like football, okay? I really do. I really like it. Praise God. So it's offense time. You know what's offense time? Because the quarterback has the ball, all right? And the quarterback has the ball, and he's going to throw it, so this is the offense. Now, on the field, we've got centers and guards and tackles and running backs and receivers. All these different guys on the field besides the quarterback, all right? Now, from the moment this quarterback chucks this ball, don't I sound so, throws the ball, there's some things that's going to happen. The guards and the tackle, we'll just call them the linemen, they're going to block, right? They're going to block. That is their J-O-B. They have a job. They are going to block. Now, if they, and every play is different, but so here goes the quarterback, he's going to throw the ball, and then the linemen are going to block. If they don't block, if they don't do their job, do you know what everybody says? Oh, man, they messed up. And the quarterback gets sacked, all right? And they just boo, and they're just really bumming out here, okay? Now, if the quarterback gets the ball, it's time to, and he throws the ball, and the guards and the tackles and all those guys do their job, okay? And the receivers catch the ball and they start running. Do you know what everybody says? Wow, that is one amazing quarterback. Did you see that receiver catch that ball and run? They are amazing. And generally speaking, they're not saying, hey, that guard over there did a great job. Now, the coach sees that, because you're going to get in trouble if you don't. But generally speaking, who gets all the glory? The quarterback. The quarterback gets all the glory. And you know what? Doesn't that sort of like the body of Christ? Everybody thinks the guy up in the pulpit, or in this case, the girl up in the pulpit, gets all the glory. All right? But that is so far from the truth, right? Because we are a part of a whole, and we are on a team, and we all have a part to play. My calling connects with your calling. Y'all are superstars in my book, okay? And listen, it takes all of you to do the plans that God has on this earth. It takes all of you. It is not just the quarterback. Amen? All right, new scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be reading a bunch of scriptures there. So open up your Bibles, put your notebook in there, your paper in there, and we're going to go read some things here. Remember, we are part of a whole. Praise God. And my connection has to do with your connection. Or excuse me, my calling has to do with your connection. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Our bodies have many parts. That's y'all. Our bodies have many parts, but many parts make up only one body when they are all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. All right, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's actually doing a comparison. He's talking about a human body to the body of Christ. He's talking about a human, he's just doing comparison so you get it, okay? And I was like, thank you, I get it. But he's writing this, and the body of Christ, how many have heard that term? The body of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. Okay, the body of Christ, there's two ways you can look at that. There's a universal body of Christ, all right? There's a universal body of Christ, and we pray for that all the time here. And that would be Jesus. That would be every believer on the planet. That would be all the believers that are in heaven. They are called the body of Christ, all right? All the believers, we're called the body of Christ. But this scripture isn't talking about that. It's not talking about the universal. It's talking about the body of Christ, the local church. In case you didn't know, you're sitting in a local church today. In case you just found yourselves transported, this is a local church. Amen? Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul. He is writing to a local church, the church at Corinth. okay? He's writing to this local church, and he's talking about the body of Christ as a local church. And you could actually say, just let me stretch a little bit, local churches are like little mini bodies. So we have this big body of Christ, the universal, but you know, these local churches, you're just little mini bodies. You're a little mini. Your Christian fellowship is a little mini body. We were praying for Gateway. They're a little mini body of the whole big body, okay? Now, who is still the head of the body? Jesus is the head of the body, head of the church, okay? And then he puts the pastors in, and he gives them the vision. And then the pastor says, hey, this is what I've heard. This is what we all, you all, us alls are going to do, okay? So guess what? Then you are of necessity. Your parts are necessity. You got to have them, okay? So we are a part of a whole, and you are, and I am, really important. Amen. I am so important. I'm necessity. A necessity. Amen. Now, just think about this. So if the pastor is then the head of the mini body, how much, I mean, you know that headless horseman? Have you seen a headless body walking around? No. You chop the head off, the body's not doing nothing. Chop the head's not doing nothing. Okay, so it is important to have every part because you are a part of the whole. You are a part of the team. You are a part of this body. Praise God. So that's what he says when he starts comparing the body to the local church. So we're going to jump down to verse 15. But I want to talk about two big misconceptions. Two big dumb thoughts that Christians get. Of course, that's none of you guys. It's the other churches, right? These are two big, I'm going to call them misconceptions because they sound so nice instead of calling them dumb. But two misconceptions that Christians have concerning their part in the body, in the local church. Okay, number one, okay? They can have a feeling that they aren't needed. Christians think they aren't needed. Okay, so Sunday morning, who's the first wave you're going to run into is my greeters. And their hand, hi, how you doing? Some of them give hugs, okay? And what's new? And they're handing you things. Then you come into the next wave. This is the Coffee and Connect people. How many Coffee and Connect are on the teams here? Anybody Coffee and Connect? Yeah, they're back here. Okay, and they give, hi, how you doing? And here's some coffee. And, hey, did you sign up for this? All right, and then you look up at this worship team, and there's 2, 3, 4, 5. What was it, Sunday before we had a full team? How many of you guys? 8. Oh, it was glorious. Okay, but the misconception, when I do this, Pastor D walks around like this. It's not good. But you could do this and walk around and think, I'm not needed. Because you see all these volunteers, right? You come on. And listen, that is the farthest thing from the truth because we are a part of the whole. We are better together. We are a team. And my calling works with your calling. Okay, so I'm going to give you a funny little analogy. Big toe. How many have a big toe? How many have two big toes? Good. Okay, big toe, big toe. I used to think the big toe was just for looks because you paint it. Do bubblegum pink in the summer and sometimes in the winter because, you know, I got this really pretty red, okay? So I used to just think my big toes for looks, right? And then I started to thinking, do you know this big toe needs some maintenance? Your big toe needs some maintenance, right? I got clawed once by Jack in his big toe. Blood. Yeah, so your big toe needs some maintenance, all right? But so I got to thinking, what a pain. God, you think you could have done better with this toe? I have conversations like that with God. I think I make him laugh. I know he's not crying over me, but I think I make him laugh. And then so I'm like, God, you know, come on, this is a pain. You know, what? I'm just for looks. This big toe's just for looks. What do you got again? Until a couple years back, I'm at Brown's Orchards, and I buy a jar of apple butter, and I had it in the cart. And now if your kids are sitting in the cart, they put their feet through those two holes on the top, right? Well, I had the seat down, the two holes, put the apple butter there, and it went, bam, fell out, hit my big toe, my second toe, and I dropped to the floor. I squealed like a pig. I cried. It was really bad blood. I am on the floor at Brown's. People are just walking by. I was like, okay, now. And then, for the, you know, I'm walking like this. I'm not sure I broke it. I think I broke it, but I didn't go to the doctor because I don't go to the doctor. But I'm walking around like this, and I'm having trouble walking. Do you know your big toe has purpose? Balance. And I talked to somebody who was in an accident, lost their big toe. And I've heard this before. Then did a little research because, you know, you might be lying to me. And they said, yeah, they have to have special shoes made so they can have balance. So that thing that I thought was just maintenance and just for looks turned out to be pretty important, okay? Now, some of you might think you're a big toe. Some of you. Some of you may think, you know, I'm just for looks. They don't need me. They don't need me, okay? And listen, liar, 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 pants on fire. That's a lie. Every one of you is needed in the body because we get out of balance, right? Everybody is needed. Say, I am needed. I am needed. I am needed. Every part is needed in this body. Okay? So if we're going to do everything that God's planned and has desires for us to do, it's going to take everybody. Everybody. It's going to take everybody. Okay? And we need who you are. We need you to get in your place so we're not, all right? So praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:15. Moving on. 1 Corinthians 12:15. It says, if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make any less a part of the body. Of course not. Duh, I know that. That doesn't make it any less, okay? Jump down to verse 18. Verse 18, it says, but that isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies, and he has put each part just where he wants them. Now, none of you have ever done this. Well, how come I can't be this gifted? How come I'm not gifted like... Where's this one family? Who is it? The Down family. They play instruments. They sing. And I was just moaning and groaning. I'm like, God, you put too many gifts in that one family, all musical. I mean, come on. I could use that. All right. So no. But you go back and you read this and I go, wait a minute. He put each part just where he wants it. All right. I'm over it. Right? Okay. So think about the human body. What can you do without? You can mess it up. Well, that's not too bad. Okay, but what can you do without? And, you know, sometimes it messes you up, but what can you do? You can do without a finger, right? You can do without a finger. Can you do without an eye? Yeah, you can do without an eye. Kind of messes you up. You got to kind of go through life a little da-da-da-da, right? Okay, can you live without a liver? Dead. Can you live without your intestinal tracts? This, you know, that whole... No, you cannot live without that. And you know, oftentimes the parts that are hidden, not the fingers, not the toes, not the eye, not the head, oftentimes those parts that are hidden are the most needed, the most important, most valuable. So, say, I'm a part of the whole. I have a special calling. Praise God. And you have to understand, you are a necessity to the body of Christ. Man, you are. So don't go, okay. Second misconception with being a part of the whole, being on the team, we're better together. Second misconception, stupid thought really, is that sometimes we have the feeling that we don't need anybody. I have wallowed in that on occasions. Okay, long, long time ago. Yeah, right. Okay, so what happens is we think, well, they don't need me, so I don't need them. I don't need anybody. I'm fine alone. Oh, yeah. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. Jump down there. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Now, listen, the eye is pretty amazing, right? The eye is amazing, okay? But if it wants to get something, guess what it needs? It's got to have a hand, right? The eye's not going to pick something. Okay, all right. Then it says, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. All right, now, the head. The head is amazing. Beautiful hair, you know, all that. But what's inside this head? The brain, okay. So, but if the head doesn't have feet, it's not going to go where the brain wants it to go. It's got to have feet, all right? So sometimes we think, I don't need to be connected. And listen, you are valuable. You are needed. Who God made you is so needed in the body of Christ. And we are better together. We are better when you are connected, okay? And listen, when we don't have parts, we're not healthy. I was going to say another word. This is a better word. Okay. When we are missing parts, we're not healthy and we are not better. So every part is so needed. All right. Also, I love the also. Also, you need to be connected so that you can use your gift and you will have a lifeline of connection. There will be a light. Let's see. Can you put my gross picture up there? There will be a lifeline connected. This is a gross picture, and I was looking for even a grosser one. Did we find a grosser one? Oh, that's not even the gross one. Okay. This is a replica. This is not the real deal. Some poor person is not missing an eyeball. This is a replica of an eye, okay? And see that thing dangling at the back? It's the optic nerve, all righty? Okay, it's so gross, okay? And if you read about your eyeball and the lens and the nerves and all that I have to really think when I start understanding all that this eyeball does and all of that, even if you don't believe in God, I've had people say, somebody was really knew what they were talking about because that is amazing. That is amazing. Your eye is amazing, okay? And now, as amazing as it is, if it can't connect to the what's this back here? Help me, my nursey friend. Thank you. Who said that? Oh, right. So if it doesn't, wow. I was like, okay. If the nerve can't connect to the brain and that thing, guess what? It's not working. It's suffering. The body is suffering if it's not connected to that, to the brain. Okay. So, bottom dollar, your gifts are important. And if we don't have your gifts, if you are sitting on your gifts, so you are running away from gifts, the body is suffering. Ooh, Pastor D, nice happy moment. Okay, moving on. Here's a question. How protected is that eyeball all by itself? Kind of in danger territory. Someone might squish it, right? Some little kid's going to jump on it, right? Okay. So, but isn't it more protected when it's stuck in here, the eye socket? How about that for biology? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm having fun. Okay. You know, the other part is there's a blood source only when it's connected. There's blood source that goes into it, and that thing flourishes. If it is not connected, there's no blood source. Okay, you can take down my gross picture. Thanks, guys. So, God has called you to stand in a special anointed position so that you will bless the body of Christ, so that you are a blessing to the local church. Amen. All you blessings, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you for all your blessings here. Now, whether you're a blessing here or you say, oh, I don't like this pastor, I'm going to another church, I'm okay. It's taking me a while to get over that one, but I'm okay. Today, I'm okay. No, I'm okay. And you know what happens, especially if you've come here for a while and I've gotten to know you and all of a sudden you disappear into the sunset, I call you up. And I go, hey, how you doing? Are you, what you doing? And if they say, well, you know, pastor, and they're so cute. Can I tell you a story? I always knew when someone was leaving YCF, we would get the best gifts. I'm not kidding. Jack got this amazing leather briefcase one time. We got out to dinner. So I get a little squeamish when you call me out to dinner. So just say, Pastor Neil, I'm still here. Don't worry about it. Okay. Should not have recorded that. I'm so sorry. Okay. Anyway. So what I'll say, I'll check up. I say, hey, I'm just checking up. Are you connected? And they go, yeah, Pastor D, I'm connected to another church. And I'm going, high five. That's awesome. Make sure you connect with the vision and you don't sit. And one lady, I had this conversation with her, and we'd known each other for off and on for about 20 years. I said, I'm going to call you up in 5, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and I'm going to find out. And you're going to tell me, are you connected? Because I know the special calling in her life. And she said, oh, yes, Pastor Day, I will make sure I get connected. I said, okay. And I understood why they were going to go to another church. It was the distance, and there's some things going on. It was of God. Okay. Now, if someone says, well, Pastor Day, I'm not coming to church anymore. I don't feel like I need church. Anybody know those people? And you know what I say? I kindly exhort them. Yeah, right. Jeez, Pastor Day. I do. I don't go, you stupid idiot. I don't say that. You know. Because not every thought in your brain should come out of your mouth. But really, you know what I say? Listen, you need church. You need church. And then I say, and also on top of that, church needs you. But you need church. Church needs you. Local body, this body needs you. And then I just preach up a storm to them, okay? And really nice. Praise God. And then I tell them, this is, you know, no guilt condemnation. Church will be healthier when you are connected. Church, the body, this body, like that eyeball by itself, okay? When you're connected, it is better, it is healthy. So, my calling is connected, your calling, we are better together, and we are better as a whole. Praise God. Moving along, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, let's do verse 27. Now, here is what I'm trying to say. This is God going, hey, this is what I'm trying to say. Will you just hear me? Okay, so that's how I read this. Here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are one body. That's talking about the local. He's talking to the local church this time. He's not talking to this universal. So he says, all of you together are one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Praise God. I want to highlight one more person. Where did Emily go? She told me she was not. I said, are you up or down? Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about her. Okay. Emily, where's Pastor Sherry? How old's Emily? She just had a birthday, right? Ooh, she had a birthday. Okay, 24, 25? Okay. She heads up our college and career group. That's the 18 to 25-ish group, all right? She also volunteers in our sound booth. She also runs the sound downstairs for youth ministry. And she is also a junior high teacher. You know what I like about Emily? She has such a servant's heart. I have caught her in the office, and she's sitting there at the computer. I go, what are you doing? She says, oh, I'm just getting some things ready. And then one time I was not complaining. And I said, and she says, don't worry, Pastor D, I'll take care of it. I was like, thank you. She's just so sweet, so sweet. So again, to all of our volunteers, we are better together. You are a part of a team, and your special calling. And you know those things there? You think, well, they're not so special. That's a special calling. Your special calling, it helps fulfills all the things that God has for us to do. Amen. All right. Second point under my calling is connected to your calling. Here we go. We can only grow together. Write that down. We can only grow together. There's actually growth when you connect. There's actually growth when you connect, okay? When you connect, growth, first off, I can't do it all. I have tried. I am not pretty when I'm doing it all. Sherry says, Mom, that face. I was like, okay. But personally, when you are connected, you grow. you grow because you connect with one another, all right? So we actually grow when we're connected. Praise God. Last week we talked about, just to get you up here. Last week we talked about in heaven is a book with your name written on it, and God has written down all the special callings he's got for you to do in his kingdom, all right? And then we read Ephesians chapter 4. So if you want to flip over to Ephesians chapter 4, we read Ephesians 4:11, and it says, he has appointed some with grace or gifts to be apostles, and some with grace or gifts to be prophets, and some with grace or gifts to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers, okay? So that's what we call the fivefold ministry, and I just happen to have that gift to be walk in that gift. I have the gift to walk in the gift. And then, this is where I want to get to, verse 12. Look at verse 12. By the way, this is a new version. Do you know they write new versions? You would think, some people, I only read the King James. Well, God bless you. Just so cute. And I remember when the Message Bible came out. That was a new version probably about 20 years ago. Okay? And I thought, this thing is so cool. Well, this Passion Bible has been out just a couple of years. Go get it. It's just really fun to read. So I'm having fun, and you get to read. Here we go. Verse 12. And their calling, that's talking about the five that we just read, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers. Their calling is to nurture and prepare you all. Nurture and prepare you all. Okay, then for what? To do their own works of ministry. And as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. Praise God. So we grow so much bigger and so much better when we connect. That's all it's saying there, all right? Jump down to verse 16. For his body has been formed in his image, the body of Christ that you all, and is closely joined together. Woo, connected! And constantly connected as one. Yay, connected, praise God. So this is the body of Christ, the local church, and we are connected as one. And when we are connected as one, we are growing. I'm growing, you're growing, the vision's growing, all right? Let's read the second part of that verse 16, and it says, and every member has a divine gift or calling to contribute to the growth of all. It didn't say just the fivefold ministry. It didn't just say all musicians. It said every member, every one of you has been given a divine gift to contribute to the growth of all. And these gifts operate effectively through the whole body, and we are built up and made perfect in love. I love that love part. So, just to wrap that up, you and I grow more when we're connected. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about the local church growing in numbers, though it should, and it does, okay? But this is talking about you individually, believers growing. And you know, when you start growing, because my gosh, I love your gifts and callings, and that they get to rub onto me, and you share into me, and then you share into me, I will grow. And guess what? I finally grow up and I'm mature. Okay, this wasn't in the notes. But people who disconnect, they're probably not mature. Right? You might call them babies. Because mature Christians know that they're a part of a whole. They are functioning, okay? And their gifts are causing one another to grow. Amen. Pastor D. All right, wrapping up real quick. I want you to do something all with me. You can close your eyes too. Put the coffee on, here you. I just want you to dream with me. I want you to think what I think. I want you to dream with me, all right? What if, come on, we're dreaming. What if every Sunday someone came to Jesus? What if every Sunday, 2, 3, 4, 5 people ask Jesus into their life? That's a dream of mine. I've been dreaming this. I've been talking about this for ever since I moved upstairs. I used to do it just for kids. Okay, but now I'm upstairs, so I pray for big people like that, okay? And you know, I'd go and cry out to God, 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 I want people to get born again. God, I want people to know Jesus in a personal way. And the Lord opened my eyes. And you know what he says? D, it's not going to happen until you do and you teach what you just taught. That everyone has a specific call. And then when you know that call and you step into it and you grow and the vision grows, then it's going to happen. And I used to think and I used to pray, God, just bring people off the street to YCF. Now, I believe that'll happen in end times where there'll be just a revival that sweeps. It's called the last great revival, and it's just going to sweep people. They're just going to be awakened up at night, and they'll come bouncing through here. But until that happens, we are a team. We are a whole, and we all play a part, okay? So this is going to happen. My dream that every Sunday, someone receives Jesus. My dream is going to happen because you know your special calling. You know your position. And you step into it and you're just walking it out. La-di-da. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. So I have a dream that every Sunday someone will receive Jesus. Now we have that happen downstairs with kids ministry, youth ministry. And it's so funny. But I'm believing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? I have another dream. Okay, I have a dream that we are 4 deep. What are you talking about, Pastor D? So you see that guitar player? I believe for every person in every position, there's 4 behind them. That one, drummer over there, that there's 4 behind them, okay? Children's ministry, that there's 4 behind them. That position that's up there in the sound booth. Adam's over there. There's 4 behind them. I have a dream about that. Well, Pastor D, back that up. Turn over to, or just write this down, 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15, 22, verses 15. I tried to find one perfect version to read this, and it's just amazing out of every version, but I picked this one here. It says, "You have an abundance of workmen." That's my dream. "Stone cutters, masons, carpenters, and all kinds of craftsmen, without number, skilled in every work, in every kind of work." So I have a dream. For every position, there's 4 more. So I'll have to say, I'm sorry, you can only be on the schedule once this month. Why, Pastor D? Because there's 4 more behind you, and they're gifted and skilled, and they want to jump in. And then I will never, ever hear, "Pastor D, I have to sit down for a while because I'm burnt out." You will never be burnt out because we are 4 deep. Amen. So I have a dream. But my dream is you knowing that you have been invited by God to stand in a divinely appointed position. And you will stand before the Lord for the gifts and callings. But let me tell you, it's just so fun to jump in right now. Okay, praise God. "Brenton, I have a dream that we have lawn cutters 4 deep." I went up to Brenton the other day and I whispered in his ears after the show. I said, "Got to cut grass soon." He just walked away. He was just laughing at me. "Sure, Pastor, thanks very much." Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How does that happen? It's when you know, and you cry out if you don't know, but you know that you have been invited by God to stand and special callings to serve him also in the local body, right? So I'm excited. And some of you guys, hey, why don't you use your gift for the kingdom of God? Like, duh. Okay, it's so cool to use it. All right, let's pray. Praise the Lord. First, let's just thank God that he has called all of you. Father, I thank you. You've called every one of us, hallelujah, to stand in absolutely incredible positions. We thank you for our positions. We thank you, thank you. Lord, I just thank you. Hey, and just bow your head, close your eyes. Your eyes are still closed because you're dreaming, but keep them closed. Okay, heads down, eyes closed. You know, some of you, listen, I know, I've been there. Some of you are in stages of your life where you're not able to step into all the things that God's showing you. Listen, I was having babies every 2 years. There was just a few things that I could do. Some of you are taking care of elderly parents and you're just not able. Some of you might just be checking us out and you're not even sure you're going to stick around. But that's okay, I know that. But I sense that God is stirring in every one of us that aren't connected, that you are called, that you have gifts and treasures that need to be applied into the vision of God and in the vision here. So, Father, I thank you that you call. You call. You call, Father. I thank you. And I thank you, Father, you're telling each person that they are needed, that they are valued, and their gifts will make us better. I thank you, Father, that they are needed. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Everybody just quiet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for showing just how special and how much we work together and how we grow together. Thank you. Praise God. And maybe you're here today and you came and someone dragged you here and you're not even sure if there's a heaven. Maybe you came here and you're not even sure God exists. Or maybe you came here and you once knew God, but you just kind of just walked away. Things, circumstances just pulled you away. Or maybe you're here and you grew up in church. Oh, praise God. But it never was real in your life. So I just want to tell you, I just want to say a few things that Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. No one will enter heaven, will enter into this wonderful life unless you come through Jesus. And Jesus said, if you call on me, I will save you. You will have everlasting life. So just real quick question. If you're here and you have never prayed a prayer and asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you've never asked for him, just said, you know, God, I prayed this prayer 40 years ago. God, if you're real, show me. God, if you're real, God, life has blown up. And if you're real, will you show me how real you are? Put your seatbelts on. You are about ready to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the miracle of all miracles. It'll just so good. But if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I've not prayed that prayer. I've not asked Jesus, but I'm ready. Well, I would be delighted to pray with you today. And I'm telling you, a miracle will happen. He'll just change you from the inside out. You'll be a child of God. Heaven is your final destination. You become a part of this big family of God. You become a part of a local church, too, when you want to. Okay, but I'd like to pray with you. And all of those of you here that have prayed that already, that have already received Jesus into your life, you've already asked him to be your Savior, how about we just stand up and we just pray this together, everybody? Lord God, I'm far from you, but I thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, to wipe my sins away for me. And Jesus, right now, I ask you to come into my life. Be my Savior. Jesus, I will follow you all the days of my life. If you prayed that prayer or you've already prayed that prayer, can you just say, I'm now a child of God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lord, you are so good, so good. And the Bible talks about the greatest parties go on when someone asks Jesus to come into their life. So if you prayed that for the first time, would you come up and tell me? I will give you a book. I'll give you just some great materials. The rest of you, you are the head, not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are blessed going in. You are blessed going out. And you have special callings that God has placed in you. Go use them. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Amen. Prayer for anything. We love to pray with you.